This is Leafs Breakfast.
So the Leafs will be back at practice this morning in the early afternoon as they prepare to take on the Boston Bruins in Game 4 tomorrow night. Willie Watch continues, as termed by our next guest. He is TSN's hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Darren, Willie Watch, day number 8. What are you anticipating today, and what do you think the likelihood is that we see Nylander in lineup tomorrow night? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I feel like it's more likely this morning or today than it was earlier in the week. And really, that's based on, Nylander skating as hard as he did on, what day was it? Wednesday, I guess, right? I mean, he went through the morning skate. He took some line rushes on that third line and then stayed out with the healthy scratches for an extended period to, again, push himself to see how he felt and how he responded after that. And, obviously the Leafs are being as tight-lipped as any team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, so there hasn't been much of an update to gauge how he felt, after pushing it the way that he did on Wednesday. So, I think we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe today and leading up to game time, the same thing we've heard through the entire stretch in the first three games of the series, that Nylander has missed and that he is possible, but it feels like we're getting to that place where, he's probably more probable than not. So let's see how it plays out. But, again, many reporting what we, kind of thought late last week, and that it could be head related, migraine related, but, nobody is verifying or confirming that. And if that's the case, that explains a lot, right? Because, yeah. It does explain how Nylander, if it's a muscle issue or a back issue, you're probably not pushing the way that he did on Wednesday. So
you're probably finding a way to play through it too, Dre.
100%. Like, there's different, varieties of treatment and ways, that the medical staff can get you a game ready. Maybe you're not 100% clearly, but you're well enough that you can play. And he hasn't been able to play. It's not through a lack of want. Of course, Willie wants to be in the lineup. But, when you're dealing with something that appears that he's dealing with, maybe it is just time that's needed for the issues to, eventually subside. So, again, the Willie watch continues here for the next 36 hours anyway.
Dregs, we all hope that he returns to the lineup on Saturday and would be a huge boost to this Maple Leafs lineup that desperately needs some extra scoring punch. But if he doesn't play tomorrow, how does that make you feel about his availability for the rest of the series?
It definitely makes you question it. But this is something I'm sure that the Maple Leafs can't rush, right? If he doesn't feel well enough to play, and obviously he doesn't, then how do you expedite that process? And you really can't. You can't. And we don't know specifically what he's feeling and what he's dealing with, aside from the speculation. And, if it is migraine-related, he has some history with that. So, he knows, perhaps knows, what it takes, and it might just require time. That's all it is. So, to say that, okay, well, if he doesn't play Game 4 tomorrow, then I'm basically writing him off for Game 5 and potentially the rest of the series – I can't do that, but it does make you wonder, doesn't it? If you're unavailable for the first four games of the series, the concern then from Nylander's perspective and maybe the Maple Leafs is, okay, well, it hasn't subsided to a point where he can play. So how can you be confident that he would be available for game five or the rest of the series? But, again, we don't know. The Leafs don't know. And Nylander probably doesn't know at this stage.
What do we know about Bobby McMahon's status, Darren? You had some tweets about him and his potential return maybe later in the series. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, well, he's being reevaluated on a daily basis, right? We believe it's knee-related. Don't know the specifics. I've heard MCL, but I don't know, again, how significant the injury is. Significant enough that he's been out for a while. And the only thing that you'll get from sources around the Maple Leafs is that he has not been ruled out for the series. And that's the way it remains. However, again, no different than, The sense that Nylander could be available tomorrow is based on how he skated on Wednesday, as I've already articulated here. You know, Bobby McMahon hasn't skated. So he's going to need at least a couple of decent skates, isn't he, before he's able to go in a playoff game. So I just can't imagine he's available for game four tomorrow. So best case scenario would be game five or game six. But he would be a significant add, right? You know, those are two primary pieces that the Maple Leafs, you know, haven't been able to utilize yet. You know, you look at the five-on-five contribution of Bobby McMahon in the second half of the season. The guy can skate. He's physical. He's pretty good around the net.
Can score. When you
add another layer like that, that just makes it more difficult on Swayman or Ullmark or generally on the Boston Bruins in the offensive zone. So he'll be a pretty big boost, a nice add if he's available in Game 5 or Game 6.
And you look at the struggles the Maple Leafs have had scoring goals. Yeah. I mean, three or more and only once in their last 10 playoff games, which includes five straight home losses. Dregs, yesterday people were talking about, you know, is Swayman in the Maple Leafs' head? You saw both coaches comment on, is Marchand in the Maple Leafs' head? I don't think any of those things are in the Maple Leafs' head. I think that what's in the Maple Leafs' head is the fact that they need to score more goals, their power play needs to be better, and they need to find a way to get a win on home ice. Don't you agree?
Yep, all of that, yes. And, you know, as Sheldon and the players talked about post-game on Wednesday, it's not like the power play has been bad. You know, they're getting their looks. The puck movement is there. They just they can't put it in the net. And, you know, there's no excuse for that. You know, I'm not going to pile on any one particular player here, but we saw what Auston Matthews was capable of in game two. And I guess, you know, as he's elevated his playing ability, you know, you kind of learn to expect that every single night in the playoffs now from Auston Matthews. And I think that's unfair and it's unrealistic. This guy is going to need some help, and that help, you know, has got to come in the form of the power play. You know, it doesn't always have to be top six, top nine guys. I think the fourth line has been pretty useful for the Maple Leafs. They've been terrific. I mean, you know, they've created some opportunities. They've been real physical on the forecheck. Just in general, I think that line in the minutes they've been given by Sheldon Keefe has been good. But the bottom six has to pop a goal in here or there as well. That's just the recipe for success. But for me, it starts with, you know, having some success on that power play, getting a goal when you need that goal the most. And, you know, how many looks, how many opportunities do you get? I thought the goal that Max Domi scored the other night, that game two, was really going to pop the cork for him, right? And then you see the opportunity that he missed in game three where the Leafs could have scored back-to-back instead. You know, Marchand
stole it from behind the net, yeah.
Yeah, Marchand, you know, snaps it under the bar. And that just flipped the momentum of the game and maybe the series. If Max is able to find a hole and put that one in the net, the outcome of that game is probably different. So that's what Toronto needs. It can't be just about Auston Matthews or what Mitch Marner isn't doing. There are more than two players capable of generating offense for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Darren Dreger, our guest on Leafs Breakfast. Following Boston's Game 2 loss, they put two new defensemen in the lineup. JVR came in. I actually thought he had a lot of jump on Wednesday night, a couple of really good opportunities. Would you anticipate the Maple Leafs maybe making a lineup change beyond Nylander tomorrow night following their Game 3 loss, Darren?
Not really. I mean, what would you be thinking?
TJ Brody. Yeah, that
Liljegren's coming out.
Yeah, I feel like Brody's coming in. Yeah, that would be my guess.
I think Liljegren's coming out.
Well, if that's the case, we're going to have to strap Jeff O'Neill's head on his shoulders because as soon as TJ Brody mismanages that puck, the O-Dog is going to explode. So look, you know, he's got the playoff experience. You know, did we really think that TJ Brody was being exiled to the press box and was never going to resurface? No, of course not, right? I mean, he's a capable defenseman and, you know, historically has been good. Maybe there have been stretches this year where he hasn't been so good. Obviously, there's a trust issue there, or he'd be in the lineup. He would have played in the first three games of this series. That hasn't been the case. I definitely, now that we talk about it, I could see that happening because Liljegren has been a bit sketchy for me to this point.
Well, you look at the move Boston made. They took Grizzly out because they just think he's
undersized and being overpowered in the, with the physicality that the Leafs are presenting. And you could almost say the same thing about Liljegren.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting manhandled out there. And I know he's been good at skating the puck out at times, but, you know, you look at that third goal, he loses a puck battle.
Yeah.
Right? And, and maybe it's not TJ Brody that comes in. Maybe it's Mark Giordano that comes in.
Maybe. Have those options, right? And that's what it's been about this year for Brad Treliving and the Maple Leafs, is making sure up front and defensively. Up front is different because you've got the status of Nylander in question. You've got Bobby McMahon, who's injured. But you have depth on that blue line.
Yeah.
So utilize it. If you're not happy with what you're seeing, you know, you don't get another chance. And look, if Toronto doesn't level this series, it becomes pretty obvious and clear, doesn't it? They're in trouble. And with the experience of Brad Marchand and the way that he elevated his game in game three, they get past it going and look out. You know, the Boston Bruins, maybe they can taste the blood in the water. It's not quite there yet. I mean, Toronto has plenty of life left, But, you know, that's where coaches earn their paychecks. It's making those decisions, not just in-game, but preparing your lineup for the next one.
Dregs, what would be more surprising to you, the fact that I tell you that Tampa Bay is down 3-0 to the Florida Panthers, or the Florida Panthers are up 3-0 on the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, that Tampa Bay is down 3, love. I you know, there's still life left in the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, we know this. Again, it's all about the experience factor, the quality of the goaltending, everything that the Lightning can throw at you. I wasn't predicting upset. I think that would have been ridiculous. But I thought that there was at least potential for that in this series because of what I just said, right? You know, you do have the experience factor. And the game of Vasilevsky, I mean, he can steal games. He's done that in the playoffs. But it just hasn't developed for them. And I don't know what's going on at home ice with Tampa Bay, but they can't win. They can't win at Amalie, and that is staggering. It is. But now flip it
it's
over.
It's like the Leafs in Scotia.
Yeah. You know, flip it over to the Florida Panthers, and it just shows us last year was no fluke, and the regular season that the Florida Panthers had and the ads that Billy Zito brought into the equation are just paying dividends. Like, this team is built to win. And, you know, their leaders find a way to lead on the score sheet. Another big night by Matthew Tkachuk. So I guess I'm surprised that the Lightning haven't had an answer for Florida, but I'm not surprised that the Florida Panthers are as dominant as they've been.
Well, we're just one Lightning loss away, Darren, from one of the more interesting offseason debates in a long time with regards to the future of Steven Stamkos in Tampa Bay. So,
are you buying Leaf jerseys already with Stammer's
name? Well, I don't know. I'm not
you
sure how
should
that would
see,
work.
Let me just share something that's on my Leafs buddies group chat. I hope Tampa loses in four so they fire Cooper. That's
fire
what's going,
Cooper?
Yes, that's what's going on my Leafs group chat with my buddies right now.
That will not be
yes.
happening. But
no
Sam
kidding.
Getting his future. I mean, we'll save that for next week when Tampa's
okay,
out there.
Okay, perfect.
But for now, we'll focus on the Leafs and the Bruins. Game four tomorrow night. Yeah. Thank you for doing this, and we'll chat with you on Monday morning.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
You too,
all right,
pal.
You too. That's TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. Yeah, the Stamkos thing, the fact that they weren't interested in, maybe not weren't interested, they weren't willing to negotiate the Lightning in season. He's the captain. He's been there forever. He's the best player in franchise history, most accomplished. And I mean,
okay, let me ask you this.
I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think it's
going
to be
really
interesting.
Do you really think Steven Stamkos leaves Tampa Bay?
See, he's got, I know he's got a massive house there. I guess it just depends on, like, what type of lowball offer will they present to him? Like, just how lowball. It's going to be a lowball offer relative to his value. Guy scored 40 goals. Still a stud. Are they going to offer him, like, $3 million a year?
No,
Well, no. I mean, it's happened in the past. Like, I look at the Bergeron situation in Boston. Think about when Brad Richards signed in Chicago. And I think Stamkos is better at this point in time than Richards was when he signed with the Blackhawks. But I don't know. I'd be very curious. And I think for Tampa, the only real way they can compete with some of the top teams in the East is with more depth. And I know they lost Sergachev, which was a huge loss for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've still got some great players. But, I mean, Stamkos is going to be asked to take less money than he currently makes. Just a matter of how much less. He's worth $8.5 million for sure.
Well, with
on the open market,
he's having.
Yeah,
sure.
He's got 40 goals. He scored again last
night. You're making some great points, and I know he probably deserves.
He does.
Whatever contract he's asking for, but I just don't see him leaving Tampa. I mean, I go back to when he had a chance to leave Tampa last time. He went and met with all these other teams, and then he came back, and he's like, I just love life in Tampa. And I think that's ultimately what will make the decision for him. It probably won't be the contract that he wants, but it'll be one that makes both sides happy, and he stays in Tampa and finishes his career and cements his legacy there.
And you need to consider the fact that playing in Florida, let's say it's $5 million a year. In Toronto, that's the equivalent of $7 million a year when it comes to what
taxes.
It actually comes down to after taxes. Now, living in Canada versus living in the United States is different. The currency exchange is a big part of it, too. The Canadian dollar not exactly thriving at the moment. So,
no kidding.
that's another conversation for another day. This hour, first up, brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Get a free medium one-topping pizza with a $25 minimum purchase before tax and delivery. Online orders only. Visit 2for1pizza.com and use the coupon code FREEM. What's going on over there?
Well, we're giving away tickets in the next hour of the show.
Yes, we are.
And I'm just reading one of the texts that came into the show. Can I read it on online?
Sure.
Somebody from Guelph didn't leave his name, saying, please pick me for the tickets. I've lined up a date with someone way out of my league, and I told them that we are going to the Leafs game. I cannot look like a pigeon and cancel.
Yeah, you're going to have to ante up in a major way. And if you're going like a first date,
if we had control over this, yeah, I'd happily pick you because I don't want you to look like a pigeon either. We only want peacocks on this show, but
it doesn't get much better. Like a first date. Oh yeah, by the way, we're going to the Leafs Bruins game 4.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, wow, you are a baller, sir. Yeah. You are a baller. I'm like, sure am. But now
dollar bills, y'all.
You could be a huge pigeon. It's like, actually, we're not watching it at the rink. We're actually watching it at, you know, Shoeless Joe's or Monahan's in Oakville. And she would not be as impressed if that was the case. All right, hour 3 is coming up. We'll talk to Jody Shelley, who will be on the call tomorrow night, Leafs and Bruins, calling the game for the NHL on TNT, plus NFL draft talk with Mark Dominic, our Monday morning NFL analyst. But we're doing it on Friday, following the 2024 NFL draft round number 1 that went down last night. All that to come in hour 3, plus tickets.